on an issue of ensuring relevancy, key challenges in public services for the next 5 years. I had 10 yesterday, and talking to my colleagues in the Irish cabinet, I've moved it down to 7 key challenges, and I'm only going to focus on 4 of them today, but these are very much on my mind. A couple of things I want to say preliminarily is, one, nothing will seem particularly new to you, it's the emphasis. 2, we are building from a position of strength. People love us. We always rank high in terms of how students value us. We are the envy of our peers within ARL libraries. We're doing a great job. We get mash notes all the time from people who are grateful for the kind of support that we offer. But what I want to do is emphasize the kinds of challenges we will face in the next 5 years and beyond in ensuring relevancy as a key player in the information universe. This is also very much a work in progress, and I welcome your thoughts, suggestions, kind criticisms, and look for other forms in which to continue to develop this. Okay, so the core I'm going to focus on, delivering the goods, focusing on points of contact, laying claim to knowledge management, and prioritizing human-intensive work. In beginning to look at these issues of relevancy, though, I want to start with what we are not in the minds of most of our users. We've got to get with Copernicus. We are not the center of the information galaxy. Students do not perceive us this way. They perceive the web as their information universe, and we still act in many ways as if the library is the locus of their information gathering starting spot. We are not the starting point for information inquiry. Studies after studies have shown that people start with the web, and many of them don't leave the web in doing their work. We are not the only trusted kid on the block. There was a major study from OCLC, Perceptions of Libraries and Information Resources, for 2005, in which the notion of the library's role as the trusted party is giving way in the fact that it's still trusted, but so are others in this space. And we're whistling in the wind to think about the fact that we're the only trusted space, or the best trusted space for information. In fact, in the LivePol survey of 2005, and we'll be presenting more of the results from that, we scored the lowest in terms of information literacy outcomes in this notion of library helps me distinguish between trustworthy and untrustworthy information. We are not easy to use. Is anybody in this room willing to argue to the contrary? We are not 24/7, even though we have moved to extend library hours, and the success of yours being open Sunday through Thursday all night is a smashing success. But our public services aren't there. I loved this quote from Rick Anderson. A library that closes at midnight every night and opens at 8 the next morning is down for fully 4 months out of the year. Not even the least reliable online database comes anywhere near that level of patron disservice. So we're not even in the running for 4 months of the year. We are not, unfortunately, essential to all academic experiences. There are many who go through the academy at the student level, at the faculty level, who do not appreciate the library or appreciate the fact that they may be using library sources and not know it. And we are not as user-centric as we would like to think we are. We still focus on the distinctions that are important to us, but not to our users. So how do we go about ensuring relevancy in today's digital information world? Study after study over the past 5 years, and there have been lots of them, conclude the same kinds of things about what users want and users need. Whether perceptions and realities differ, it's important for us to think about their perceptions, particularly when we're more the David than a Goliath in this environment. They want speed, convenience. We know all of these things. And we have to accept that while library values may drive our mission, they shouldn't govern our tactics in reaching users whose values differ from our own. So the bottom line is, how do we sell our brand in a buyer's market? It may be counterintuitive, but we can demonstrate where using the library and its resources will actually save time and effort. Don Schnedeker talks of leveraging faculty time. We also need to show how we leverage student time and administrators' time. There's a quote from Rick Anderson, as a profession we do a good job of marshaling carefully an abundant commodity, information, while squandering an increasingly rare one, a patron's time and attention. I love this quote on live, chat live. In 5 minutes, I got more leads than over an hour of surfing the net. We need to use this to market that service. Can we show that using library resources and services will lead to better grades without a huge overhead of effort? Will lead to breakthrough research? Will help enable a new scholar to establish a stake in the ground in a new discipline, to distinguish oneself from the pack. We need to offer means for collaboration and community, both within our physical spaces, which we do fairly well, but also in our online spaces. We do a good job of offering cultural programming that we initiate. But what about providing the opportunities for others to experiment and express themselves, from scholarly communication to performance art, such as the depicted here on the 50th anniversary of the publication of Lolita? Tom Fecht had students sitting in what's his library? Anyway, that was good. Reading Lolita. And how many of you were struck by how brilliant I see was in looking at the Selflix Festival? Where's the kind of killer app for us in looking at that kind of thing? So this leads to some challenges for us in terms of ensuring our relevancy. We are doing a good job in understanding that we need to deliver the goods, but we need to focus on making the goods available that are not as easily available elsewhere and in a competitive fashion. We are moving beyond full text. We're looking at, and I was pleased to see the emphasis in looking at providing access to visual resources with the launch of Find Image Resources. There is also a task force that has been appointed by a number of deans to look at the use of visual resources and the collaboration between the library system and the Knight Visual Resources Center, not only in how do we make it effective for them to use visual resources in teaching and research, but there's a direct requirement to encourage the shift in use by faculty and students from the analog to the digital. We know we need to make it easier to get. BorrowDirect is a rave. We know we need to make it faster and less complicated. The whole priority on Get It is looking at this. But can we also think about making it free? Pat Schaefer, in a meeting with Sarah Thomas for IRIS Management Group, posed some challenges to think about how we can turn our services into making materials more accessible, and why not make it free for electronic document delivery? Over 50% of the requests now are free. Perhaps we need to put a ceiling on the amount of requests that we would offer. But it's a way we need to go. We also need to offer our resources where people are looking. You know the old joke about the light is better. You've lost your quarter in the dark, but you're looking under the lamp because the light is better. That's where people are looking for resources. The value of us and our services is enhanced by embedding ourselves where people are. And there's good work being done in a collaborative effort between Cornell Library and CIT to embed the library services into Blackboard. The value of developing subject guides and access is best represented when the academic departments are posting those resources directly on their sites. And there's a whole area that we need to focus on, which is the informal learning environment. We are invading the and integrating into the teaching, the formal teaching environment. But where are students going in their informal learning spaces, and how can the library support that? We need to move from a collection-centric view of the world in terms of our public services to one that is need-based. Why doesn't our gateway provide obvious access to material outside as well as inside? Why don't we have direct links to OCLC's WorldCat and Google Scholar and the National Science Digital Library, which is a major effort Cornell's involved in? And why is the MedCat catalog 4 clicks away from the gateway, and you have to know where to find it? Can we put a buy it from Amazon in our catalog in exchange for Amazon's link to a borrow from Cornell, perhaps even limited to Cornell IPs? Second challenge is to focus on points of contact. We need to find new opportunities to scale from a teachable moment to a reachable moment. We've built relationships in public services on resources and services, and now they need to really be focused on outreach services. We need to, as Erla is suggesting, extend access services to the desktop, look at the value of providing access to materials. Oh, wrong point. Back up. We need to ensure a minimum consistent set of public services across the system, common measures and services, while also building individual needs on top of them. Do we have consistent navigation, consistent information presentation, consistent means for providing content and services? This is the new Public Service Administration website. It's the first pretty full implementation in CommonSpot for the library. It's a watch this space. We're using it primarily for the public service committees, but it will also be a place where we bring together policies. We look at collaborative use of the development of signs, those kinds of things, to really focus on a core minimal set of services across the system. Now that Yes. Okay, sorry. Emphasizing the role of subject expertise in public service from identification to collaboration and creation. We need subject specialists to be spending at least as much time in points of contact as they are in selection. A good example of the kinds of efforts are the scholarly communication outreach efforts of the past year, the merging of several departments to establish CREO in IRIS for collections, reference, instruction, and outreach, and the establishment of partnership models between subject specialists and reference, and in some cases faculty, to build subject guides to support the curriculum. We need to go beyond what Steve Bell calls the blended librarian to something new, perhaps thinking about maybe research librarian as the sort of umbrella term for merging all of these things, instead of thinking of ourselves as reference librarians or subject specialists or instruction librarians. I'm quite struck by the Law Library's decision to move to the terminology research attorney to signify what they're doing and who they are. And as Pat Court wrote to me in an email, the title caught up with the extensive responsibilities that we've already been carrying. Now, outreach has the key. Public service, I've already said most of this. As we think about encouraging and elaborating on points of contact, focusing on the first years. We focus on the first year faculty. We focus on the first year grad students. We focus on the first year undergraduates through the some of the common curriculum. We need to focus on the first year administrators as well. And we need not only to focus on them in a one-shot deal, but to continue to follow them throughout their careers to see how they are doing. And if we can get them early, how do we engage them in terms of looking at library resources and what the library can do for them? Points of contact need to be established also in the digital world. Facebook is an interesting opportunity for Cornell Library to think about where students are going and how to provide or advertise our services to them. We will be examining the notion of the next generation gateway. And in fact, the public service, the next public service forum will be a debate on the next generation gateway, with Cornelia taking the positive, yes, we need to do this, and Peter Hurdle taking the negative, hell no, we don't need to do this. The debate, oh, Barbara told me I wasn't supposed to swear. The debate will be on February 27th at 8:30. Tiffany, where is it going to be? In Croc Library. And I'm hoping that they will look at the issue of the degree to which we can build place-based social forums for learning and research in cyberspace as well. Represented here is the University of Minnesota's YouThink, which is a set of services for blogs for students to use. In final point on points of contact is to integrate public services into the scholarly communities. Let's go where the scholars are. Let's look at, we already have the responsibility for the archive in terms of technical support, but there's an opportunity here for us to invest in public service roles within the archive and to build on how that community works. It's much more than just a database of information. How that community works, and to expand it both across disciplines, moving to other sciences and social sciences and then the humanities, but also looking at it horizontally, pushing back toward not just the preprints, but what are the data sets and the information that are being used to generate those preprints, and pushing the other way toward more formal relationships with the publishers. Oh, and my little standing on the shoulders of geniuses comes from a comment that Jean Poland talked about, with the archive being a genius-driven kind of repository, and now it's moving to one that is organizational. And it's also a play on Google Scholar standing on the shoulders of giants. Knowledge management. There is an opportunity for the library to be heavily involved in capturing, sharing, and reusing the institution's knowledge and understanding, and play a leadership role in doing this, not simply from the perspective of the scholarly resources that people use, but also the academic information and resources on which they depend. VIVO is an excellent example of this connecting distributed information across the system. And I'm pleased to let you know that the provost is looking at support for broadening the utility of VIVO to extend it to other disciplines in the hard sciences and in the social sciences. And part of that support is coming from the fact that the increased level of interdisciplinary research that is going on in life in the university. It's important to make those connections, but it's also because they see the value to the faculty and to other offices in this kind of work. So this is definitely an area where we need to invest our efforts. We need to take leadership in managing the university's information and administrative knowledge assets in digital form. We know we need to do a better job in the university records environment, but there are also faculty websites, students' expression, data sets, repositories of information that are below our radar. We also need to help others in managing their information. DCAPS is a classic example of this, as is the file format and media migration service that the research department piloted to help faculty members recapture information in obsolete formats and software programs. Carla DeMello's brilliant work on looking at files going south, migrating. Investing in knowledge management also means that we need to report on trends that affect information creators. We need to be the information scouts for the university, perhaps in tandem with CIT. Someone needs to ride the fences out there and alert the administration and academic deans to what's happening in terms of major sea changes. How can we inform the university in terms of technology, policy, legal, and information trends that will affect the creation of knowledge? We have deep expertise in areas of metadata, intellectual property, information architecture, web design and development, preservation, digitization, subject expertise. We need to participate in initiatives that support and protect the university's investment in knowledge creation, such as Peter Hurdle's participation in the group looking at Section 108 of the Copyright Act, and I'm going to get this wrong, to protect the library and archive exemptions in terms of fair use. What about the notion of developing information briefs for administrators on key topics? Their time and attention is pretty limited, but there are things they need to know about. And what about identifying a research librarian to support the new president, not simply in their scholarly research interests, but in their needs for information? Not going into depth on library as place, I want to just point out a couple of things that we need the message to get out that this is their library, this is your library, not our library. The library is a place of destination for people. Zuzia reports that once the engineering library had been redone, there was a 20% increase in foot traffic. We need to be able to provide one-stop shopping for information needs beyond just those that the library itself offers. And look at such things as library space used for university needs. We're central to the campus physically. We offer neutral ground for academic egos to come together to cross disciplinary boundaries. To provide space for incubation of new ideas without finding ourselves with squatters on a static basis. And library as base for students. Can we provide that hoteling concept for students? They store their stuff, they refuel, they get gear, they get the stuff that they need for their classes, whether it's laptops or clickers or whatever devices are going to be developing in terms of the educational process. Challenge 5, fostering strategic partnerships. I think everybody will say this is a challenge in whatever area. And the one I want to point to is The challenges for public services in fostering strategic partnerships with other libraries. What is the public service equivalent to the cooperative cataloging to share expertise, to reduce costs? I think we could have a retreat on that idea alone. Challenge six, prioritize human intensive work. Although the goal of Google is to make reference librarians redundant, the head of the technology group at Google acknowledges that that goal is hundreds of years away. So we have some time on our hands before we become obsolete. What can we do in terms of prioritizing the very relatively expensive human effort that goes on in the name of public services? Can we minimize the redundancy and uneven efforts across the system in re-engineering public services, analogous in some ways to what Karen has done and others have done in looking at technical services operations? Can we get the word out collectively to students in a class about some key resource that they need rather than one by one at the reference desk? How do we convince scholars to give up browsing the physical shelves when we insist on shelf review for materials on approval plan? Is there the equivalent of ITSA for this kind of function that will minimize not only efforts in public service, but efforts at the back end as well? We need to maximize the effectiveness of others. We have no real sense of how much it costs users to use our systems. We provide them for free, but it is costly in terms of their time and effort. And how can we maximize their effectiveness in doing that? How do we intercede at points of greatest labor, understanding and spending time in looking at users' needs and anticipating them? I think that document delivery is a good example of this. It is cheaper for the library to deliver the goods to faculty members than to have the faculty members or their graduate students come over to the library to get the material. It also makes obvious the value that the library presents to the mission of the university. We need to spend our time in looking at what are the deeper, richer, and harder to get at things, especially at the edge of disciplines. We are so oriented toward classifications and steady state schemes. How do we start to look at those new intersections of disciplinary lines? Can we follow the work in the Institute for Social Sciences and in the archive where new disciplines are popping up as a result of those connections across lines? We need to focus our efforts on humanizing and assisting in the human-computer interface. Serving as technical research support people for faculty teams, I think a good example of being able to do this would be if a librarian were part of the integral team in one of the Institute for Social Sciences theme years. We also need to take advantage of the fact that there's a human-human interface going on in public services. How many of you hate phone systems where you get into that continuous loop and they offer you options that aren't the ones you want? I even go to the cell phone store to talk to someone there because I can't stand the phone system, even when what they're doing is talking to the phone system for me to find the information itself. So we have this opportunity to distinguish ourselves by the human-human contact, but we also will need to figure out priorities in defining those human-human interfaces. Challenge seven, utilizing measures of success. How do we demonstrate that what we do makes a difference. What would success look like? Can we tie measures directly to user needs? How do we show directly that what we do increases productivity or promotes the competitive edge? It's not enough to say that we have offered X number of instructional sessions, or we've had X number of people walk through our library doors, or we have circulated X number of items. Even in live call questions, there are things like, the library makes me aware of resources and services. That's not the real question. The real question is, did the library help me improve my grades, improve the quality of my ideas? And I love this. Am I ahead of myself again? Nah, never mind. How do we know that the value of the effort we put into creating the CLQ is panning out? We know more students use it. We know that more classes are coming. But the real test of the effort will be in the duplication of such labs across the university system. It's an incubation effort as well as one that is to support collaboration. We've spent a lot of time getting the message out in scholarly communication to know your publishers, to manage your rights, and to store your stuff. But what's the impact of that effort? How many faculty members are storing their stuff in the repositories that we provide? How many faculty members have adopted copyright exemptions to support their being able to do so? How many of them have taken a look at the price gouging of typical journals in which they publish? We also need to experiment, but make tough choices. My updates was something that we offered for 4 years, and it served 300 people. It was a great thing, but over time, the value and the effort put into it did not result in the payoff that we needed. And it took us, we had to wait until the server itself was down before we made the decision to pull the plug on it. Our users are giving us a message in live call, which is, while we do a wonderful job in that the warm and fuzzy part of the jobs that we do, we need to put more effort into providing them with information control. We're twice as effective in meeting their needs on site as we are off site and providing access to materials. So is there an overabundance of human effort in that area that needs to be shifted to support that? Next steps, ensuring relevancy in 2010 and beyond. I love this. I think that if Janice represented the challenges in collection development, the push me, pull me represents the challenges in public service. We are pulled in many different directions. We still support lots of the standard kinds of things that we've done so well, and the need is continually there, and we are pulled in the direction of offering new services. At the same time, we need to pull people into the library and push people out of the library by providing services where they need them. The role of the public service librarian in linking the digital world to the physical one is a major challenge and will continue to be one for the next 5 years. A real question is, are we willing to accept that we need to change in big ways? And are we willing to cede some terrain to gain new ground? We need to ask ourselves questions such as these. I'm getting to them. Are we really willing to look at how much it costs to do X, Y, or Z, and then make tough choices about the value of doing so? Are we willing to consider cutting reference service hours when the number of people served goes below a minimum, and then devote that time to outreach activities? Are we willing to cede prime real estate to CIT help desks, or share our information desks with CIT help and other help services? Are we willing to do away with tailoring subject bibliographies when another institution's bibliography will do just fine? Are we really willing to invite the user's expertise into the way we do public services? Are we willing to become a distribution center for whatever is required to support the curriculum? Are we willing to act on what we learn from freshmen when it runs counter to what faculty say they want? Are we willing to value administrative briefs as much as we do published articles in the promotion and review process? Are we willing to assess each other in terms of our teaching effectiveness and to adopt effectiveness measures to evaluate our progress and change? I love this quote from Walt Crawford, and I would love it to be something that is said about libraries. He's talking about Netflix. It seems to be an honest, collaborative recommendation engine. It stocks almost everything and has done much to increase the visibility of foreign and independent films, and we've had excellent service. So, thank you very much. Points of contact, making them a prime thing in the way we do our work. I think the notion of knowledge management is a real whole area that we've started to make good inroads in, but it's a role that needs to be done, and the library is in a good position. And also, it's a way to make sure that the university understands the value, the continuing value of a research library as part of it. And I also think that we need to utilize measures of success. So those three would be my keys. I think we should start targeting those times when people aren't standing in front of us and look at the numbers that are being served Perhaps limiting the number of staff reference hours in the day based on where the use is, and spending the rest of those that time developing things that will serve others more broadly, or looking at outreach efforts. I don't have any answers to any of this. I'm raising some challenges that I think we collectively need to focus on.
I think to answer your question, like one of the things we thought about was capturing those human-human interactions and then recording them and making them available so that when the next person explores our database, they can actually learn what you've already done. We're losing all this information. Every reference transaction that's done face-to-face disappears as soon as it's completed. And if you capture that and store it and make it accessible, then we would have a resource that we can
build. Right, and Don, I meant to mention the business FAQ. I don't know if you want to say anything about that from, is it Columbia that has developed it?
Actually, it's Wharton.
Wharton?
Wharton's developed a frequently asked questions database, and at this point they're vending it to other schools. Columbia's using it, several other schools are using it now, and Wharton's arrange it so that you can actually brand it for your school, but they're really working questions. So it's an interesting concept of sharing these kinds of questions and resources.
Karen, can I just ask you I think Elaine and Don have great points. I think one way to make the most of front of you is to reduce the number of people who are standing in front of you by making systems much bigger, more accessible, easier to use, to make it possible for users to find our information in ways that, and get hold of our information in ways that we don't need to intervene. I'm doing a study right now on the future of the catalog, and one of the people that I interviewed talk about reference services as being largely helping people to use library systems that are really difficult to use, helping users navigate bad systems. So I think that's one of the answers, and you alluded to that yourself in your talk when you talked about making it easier to use. I think we have to recognize the self-sufficiency of users and their desire to be even more self-sufficient, and respond to that in ways that are effective. And yes, it does mean shifting resources in that direction.
Personal control is a big issue in a bunch of studies, and in particularly in LiveWalk, looking at that issue. But I also think it gets back to collective action. How do we collectively work to do those things?
That's another conclusion from this study, is that the problems that libraries face and finding their position in the larger information universe will never be solved by individual libraries working alone. We have to work at a much higher aggregated collaborative level to ensure our relevance in the coming future. Lynn?
Can you speak up, Lynn?
Sure. Several of my colleagues have been experimenting with knowledge-based arrangements for a number of years now. And so far, they really haven't been successful. Research questions are very individual. For the most part, people are not coming in asking the same kind of question. We have a body of knowledge that we use to approach questions.
struck by what Arizona State University did, which was to look at a week's worth of reference questions that came in, and then to analyze those reference questions for the degree of difficulty associated with them, for the repetition of the kinds of questions that came in, and then to look at how to staff desks accordingly. We have anecdotal evidence that this is true, but we don't have quantitative evidence that provides that kind of thing, and we need it in terms of looking at how we staff. And maybe what we do is to focus on those 5 or 6 hours of intensive work for that kind of stuff. Do we need to staff from 8 o'clock until, you know, whenever? So I'm not disputing what you say. I'm saying, how do we look at what our needs are and be more effective around addressing them?
I thought Ed's hand for that.
In your vision, the way the library is structured, you know, we have tech services, we have public services, we have, you talk about the pre-emerging subject specialists, selection of bibliographers, with information specialists, commanded desks. Can we achieve your vision in the current structure that we're with the silos and tech services and public services?
Do you really want me to answer that question?
I do think we need to go, I think on the last slide there was something about a more porous organization. I think we need to be much more team-based in what we do. If there is a particular initiative that we see as key, maybe there is a point person on the library management team that is in charge of it, and then the people who are needed to do that work are assigned to that person until that work is done. And that becomes their priority rather than an add-on to what they're doing. And it isn't just public service folks who can do this by themselves. And it isn't that public service is on this side and there is no public service equivalent on the IT side or the technical side or other sides of what's happening in the library. But yeah, I think we are going to have to morph into something that's much more flexible and more strategic than static in terms of how we organize ourselves.
I actually saw Michael Cook the last round, so go ahead, Michael.
Yes. Michael Cook, I appreciate the point about human to human element to the presentation. I think service ethic is something we can't ever neglect to underscore along with you. It's part of the, something that we do really well, Google we can't do it all. That human touch, stereotypes of libraries people have always comes down to how they treat the libraries. If you put an extra mile for somebody, you really treat them well in service. But those are things to remember and share with other people.
And I think the key there is to really, how do we maximize that human-human point of contact? Another thing I wanted to mention was appreciate very much the comments that you shared around public service and looking at the importance of the IT and technology. I don't know if you want to talk about your spec kit a minute, what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, I just spec kit a few years ago, looking doing another one, we have a survey of ARL libraries on public computing management in libraries. That's an area that's been very under-addressed.
We don't collect systematically a sense of the number of technology questions that are coming to us at all points of contact. And my suspicion is that it's a higher proportion than we're prepared to deal with.
That kind of fund these things that are not considered traditional library services?
I think we need to, well, one, I think that the provost's interest in expanding VIVO is a real key thing. Two, I think that in some ways there's a demand that's not being, there's a demand that is, there's not even understanding that there's a demand there and we need to create the demand. And three, I think that we can look at what MIT is doing. The library system has adopted knowledge management as their key mission for MIT itself.
First, your question about Ed's about organization within the library and the current structure. First, your question.
That's probably why you wanted to.
Weissman was so wise to raise the point regarding organizational structure. We talk about teams a whole lot, and yet we have hardly ever really put them together in terms of aggregating the human asset resources and doing it. You know, we need in the next 3 months to establish some really meaningful teams to give evidence that in fact that we have the capacity to do this, because this is a, you know, this is a five-year-old discussion. So does this mean if we can't do it in a few cases, we should really, you know, then we really should just pull the organizational structure out and sort of, you know, start from ground zero and build a new structure. So can we, you know, take from this, and I think it's a real, you know, tour de force in terms of a comprehensive vision for the library's place in the campus. And I think it's about, you know, I think it's about technology services, I think it's about organization of information and intellectual property rights and so forth. It's your, you know, your veneer over this is how we all do our things. But can we make some real efforts? And I know we'll have to push hard on that, and people will have to assume that they'll be rewarded for venturing out and to seek success sort of via other paradigms, paradigms too big a word, and other frameworks. And is this something that we really could concentrate on giving evidence of our ability to do this? I'm concerned about it.
Well, my first suggestion is to crack open a bottle of wine and have you and me and Karen and Jean and the other AULs come together and ask that question, because it starts at the top, and it has been, I consider, a failing on all of our parts that we haven't, that we've been more turf protective than we have been looking at ways to get things done.
Jean.
I'm Jean Coleman, AUL for the Aztec Library. And I'm going to follow this up with letting everyone, or reminding everyone, that we do have, that we are working at least on these 9 recommendations. We may not be thinking of ourselves as working teams. Maybe we need to take a review of what we're doing, go a little further. But I don't think our structure has kept us from having teams. It's an example of something we can build on. But let's have that one. I really want to.
Janet?
I'm going to
second Jean's comment.
Oh, Janet, I'm sorry. I didn't say you.
Yeah, that's okay. You can have wine, I'll have the brandy. I'll create my own little thing. But I mean, you started off this discussion with, you know, how wonderfully positive libraries are perceived. And, you know, I think we really, you know, I'm a last half full kind of woman, and I think we really need to be focusing on the fact that our users already perceive us as strong. How do we make ourselves more relevant than that information universe that you just pointed out? We're all public services people. You know, there really are divisions. We do different things. Each person in this room does something different.
all serving the public, and how do we make that more effective? I think you certainly bring out lots of key challenges that we have, but I think your first statement that we are in the universe of all the services that this university provides, the library is one of those top things. But we will lose our relevance if we don't fix some of the things. I mean, our main door to our resources is the most complex thing in the world. And that has nothing to do with teams. That has, I mean, I think it does how we design it, some of the teams, but it has a lot to do with technology. It has a lot to do with the library just our system, the library world in general. Millions of dollars to our vendors for crappy systems. How do we move beyond that? How do we make our front door more attractive? Whether that front door is a Google-like interface, or Peter and Cornelia can discuss that next week. But obviously, that's our main entrance to our resources, and we're spending zillions of dollars on that. Then, how do we make the services that you outline be a point of reference? Why do you go down to the cell phone store to talk to somebody? It's the same reason why people come to the library to talk to someone, because they have a problem that they can't solve themselves, and they want to have a human interaction. And as most of your book show, those human interactions are appreciated. As Lynn pointed out, they come to us for telephone, not just coming to us for where's the bathroom. Those questions are handled beautifully too. If our bathrooms are more evident, we probably wouldn't have that question all the time. Find the bathroom in man, or find the bathroom in yours, or in all of them, or in yours. It's tough. But yeah, I think we should go back to your first statement, is that we are building from a position of strength.
We are absolutely building from it isn't broken. And the other issue is that church is not for the saints, it's for the sinners. And we are missing some of the people who move through this library, through this university, who do not use library systems and services. And what are we doing about them?
I think we have to stop there. Thanks for coming. Don't forget the meeting after professional development program on February 13th at 2:00 in this room.